Let's see here. London, ripping away a board in a shop. Demolition worker Rick Ward saw what he thought was a crocodile skin bag yesterday. He bent down to pick it up, and the bag began hissing and spitting and tried to bite him on the ankle. Ward ran out screaming. It turns out that it was a crocodile skin bag that had not yet been completed. Still a crocodile, I think. We're going tell you, life is getting harder every minute. It really is, you know. Has this occurred to you, Keith, recently? Life is getting harder all the time. And in spite of the fact that things are supposed to be getting grovier. Well, look, you can see it everywhere. Here, listen to this little, this question that comes to Ann Landers now. This is just the kind of thing. It says, "Dear Ann Landers, Jerome and I were married 16 years ago. A double ring ceremony. Isn't that romantic? He used to wear his wedding ring all the time." The key word is used to. "About 6 months ago, he began to leave his ring at home when he went to work. And I thought it was just absent-mindedness, so I asked him about it. And he reluctantly told me that he had developed, and we quote here, a little arthritis in his fingers. And that he just would prefer the ring not to be on. It's just a little hard to get off and on with the arthritis. When I offered Ann to have him made the ring made larger, he just turned away and mumbled, 'Don't bother.' Bum, ba-dum, bum. A few days ago, I suggested to Jerome that he carry the ring in his pocket as a reminder to him that he is married and the father of 6 children. He became annoyed and snapped, and we quote here, 'Don't be stupid.' Jerome is home every night. He has been a good husband and father, but now I wonder if perhaps he isn't seeing someone during lunch hour. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Where's Jerome tonight? He could be listening. Hi, Jerry. Hell of a note, ain't it, man? I mean, when your private life is spread out in front of 47 trillion readers of the Daily News, what kind of a scene is that? They'll know now. You know, I've often wondered about people who write to public question answerers. Boy, that is the ultimate in exhibitionism. The ultimate. The ultimate. Because, you know, what kind of an answer can Ann Landers give you? 3 lines and some smart crack, you know, like, tell him to take the ring and stick it in his ear. You know, I kind of said, try that once, Ann. So, you know, life is just getting tougher. Well, you can see it on every side. Do you have a little sexy music, friend? Watch old Keith in there. You can see it on all sides. Now, what is the big problem of today's life, really, according to all the novels that are written? Alienation. Right? Alienation. Each man searching for someone else. Someone that he can love. Someone who will be his. This is the search that goes through every novel, through every 10th-rate movie. It's a constant, continuing battle to find Mr. Right. Or, the other side of it, you know, Miss Right. Yeah, that's a joke. What is it causing? I mean, it's developing all kinds of things. Already we've seen ads in thousands of papers for these, you know, you can buy a blow-up chick now. Yeah, actually. She's 5'3". Have you seen that one? It's beautiful. It's this exact reproduction of a genuine, fantastic chick. Yeah, you blow it up. There she is. She stands in the corner here. And you can get her with a bikini. You can get her redhead. You can get it, you know, if you want a blonde. And there it is. Your very own. Yeah, you know, the New York Times often advertises this in their silly section. Well, has it occurred to you that the opposite is about to achieve prominence? You can now buy. Would you give me a little sexy music in there? That's a little real nitty-gritty sex type music. Oh man, this is pay to rent music. Yeah. Listen to that. Yeah. And now, girls, this is for you. Now available for the first time. An inflatable escort. Yes, you can buy it through the catalog. This inflatable escort may seem far-fetched, girls, I'm reading the copy here, but any woman driving alone along darkened roads can feel a little safe with him beside her on the front seat. His husky, life-size build, realistic jacket and tie are convincing enough to discourage any would-be genuine man. Yes, reward him for his services. By taking him to your own parties as a guest. Inflatable, real-life, true-skin vinyl. You can get it in several models. Distinguished businessman for older ladies. Young, up-and-coming crew-cut husband for middle-type ladies. And swinging hippie with long hair and love beads. Love, where have you gone? Ba ba boo boo. Ba 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 boo. Ba ba boo. Ba 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 boo. Oh, I'm going to drink muddy water.
Muddy water. Muddy
water. Ba ba boo boo. Until I can find you, baby, baby. Wa wa wa. Ba ba boo boo. Oh, my baby last night. Oh, last night she developed a slowly. Baba boo. Baba boo. Baba boo. And just the time I needed her most, there I was, without my vulcanizing kit. Loving him.
Look at a big.
All together now, let's sing, gang. Let's sing it out, let's sing it out. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna drink muddy water. Muddy water. Yeah. That's enough. That's enough of that. I'm such a bad man. I wish I could be nicer, you know? I wish I could. Anybody out there got a suggestion on how I can be nicer? There, Outlanders. Oh, by the way, speaking of niceties, would you please dig out that? You'll find it in there, You got to put up, if you will, please put up the sheik. Get that up there. And hey, we'd like to salute tonight, if we may, you know, Saturday night. We'd like to, Saturday night's a great night to do anything you, darn well feel like doing. That's a groovy thing about Saturday, and that includes me. And, listen to this one. I just, you know, some things happen. It's just so funny. This is Fort Myers, Florida, an 18-year-old boy who police said kept a detailed journal of his nocturnal activities was held today in Fort Myers on the charge of six charges of breaking and entering. Sergeant Harry Morse of the Lee County Sheriff's Office said that when officers arrested Alan Allen, they found a 60-page handbook detailing burglary activities. And the book was entitled, we quote, he had it written on the front, Al's Mafia Enterprises. And underneath it, it says, the book was described as written by Big Al or Boop Drooper. He called himself Big Al. Ego is galloping. I mean, you see, it's getting tougher. Now, here's a kid that just wanted to get out and get some field knowledge of he probably was going to write mystery stories and all that kind of stuff. And, I think this is bad that they threw him in the slam-rooney. Just bad. Because, it's hard enough to get any individuality today. Don't you agree with that, Keith? And everywhere, people are grasping. I have a little note here. It says this year's least appetizing new appetizer, the least delicate new delicacy is canned hippopotamus. You can now buy in the local store the one medium-sized hippo. We now learn, and we're quoting, can be broken down to 1,200 cans, weighing 4¾ ounces each. And I kind of like that, because, in Africa, I was in Africa, they eat hippo steaks there. It sounds grotesque to us here, but that's ridiculous. I mean, there are hippos just like any other animal, And they have hippo steaks there. I had I didn't actually have hippo steaks, although I did have buffalo steak there in Africa. I had the warthog tail, which was kind of good, pickled. And there are other things. This is the same company, by the way, that has introduced such gourmet items to us as fried grasshoppers, canned rattlesnake, and chocolate-covered ants. You've seen them. Well, have you ever had them? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened to me one day. I mean, you want to hear a sickening story? And if you're out there who are stopping in the drive-in there to get yourself a cheeseburger, get ready for a real stinkeroni here. But I was at a cocktail party one time. And I'm walking around. You know, you get real... I have a whole technique worked out for cocktail parties. I'm really great at cocktail parties. I keep my knees real loose, see? And you sort of get this look on your face. I practice it every couple of days in front of the mirror because you get out of practice and you got to keep in shape. And I practice my cocktail party look in front of the mirror. It's a kind of a combination of a distingué, blasé put-down and vaguely amused contempt. It is a combination that I've worked out. It's not easy to keep that combination going after you've had a martini and a half. After a while, I noticed that after I've had maybe a martini and a half, I begin to look a little bit like Harpo Marx, which bothers me because people don't take you seriously. But nevertheless, I walk around this cocktail party, and, you know, I look very cool and on top of it. And I happen to be one of the few guys who digs hors d'oeuvres. You know, I really, people always put them down. I like them. You know, I like those little round things made out of anchovies and with a little cherry in the middle and all that kind of stuff. See, so I go to this cocktail party. It was down on 11th Street. And it was in a very elegant brownstone that had been made over by this publisher. See, so I'm walking around, and there was a little silver bowl. And it had these great, I mean, I really dug them, a silver bowl of these terrific chocolate-covered raisins. Now, I happen to like these chocolate-covered raisins, don't you, Keith? I mean, you can tell. You know, the real people like the right stuff all the time. You notice that, Keith? That's right. Chocolate-covered raisins, man, every time I see them in Woolworth, you know, I go, well, grape, you know, I just, there's something about them, see? So I start knocking down the chocolate-covered raisins. They're really good. So I keep going back, and, you know, I grab another handful of these things, and so I'm popping them in my trap, and I'm looking very cool, and I got a martini, and nothing goes better with a martini than chocolate-covered raisins. Ugh. Well, I'm sorry. I've got very perverted tastes. I'm just sorry. That's one of the things I like. So, well, look, I don't put you down for those Sears Roebuck shirts. Now stop it. So I'm walking around, see, popping the chocolate-covered raisins and eating the olives out of the martinis. And, you know, being very cool, I walk up to this chick all the time. See, there's always a chick looking real bugged in the corner. At every cocktail party, there's a girl who's never been invited to anything. And this is the girl you should really concentrate on. See, she's ripe for anything, too, see. And so you walk over to her, and you say to her out of the corner of your mouth, oh, man, these cocktail parties really are a drag. And she immediately spots you as a fellow protester. See, a fellow cop. She says, oh, you know it. I said, oh, man, isn't this... Look at these people walking around. They're all trying to make the scene with one another. Of course, what you don't say to her is you're trying to make the scene with her, see? And she doesn't imply that she's trying to make the scene with you. So you say, oh, look at these phonies walking around trying to make the scene. Oh, man, they're all on a make. Oh, boy, we're above that, right? And she says, right. Oh, this is ridiculous. And all the while, you're getting your old eyes sharpened. I said, come on, baby, what do you say we split? After, you know, you've made sure that she's had a couple of martinis, he said, what do you say we get out of this? This is ridiculous. That's split. Let's go down to my pad, which is only three doors down. Ha ha. And we will listen to my Dylan records, huh? And get away from this maddening scene. And all these insane people who are not interested in ideas, they're just trying to make it with one another. Ha 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 ha. And 5 minutes later, if you have played your cards right, you're listening to Dylan records. Right, gang? Well, now, so I'm standing there in the middle of this cocktail party scene, knocking down the... I'm about to have one of those and say, which come to a man from time to time in his life, and you have to accept it. That's called life, friends. You have to get used to it. That's what life is about. It's about good things, and it's about bad things. And the good things don't count unless you get a few bad things. You know, it's all part of the same thing. Oh, yes. There is no light unless there is darkness. Bum, ba-dum, bum. This is philosophical. Point, which I'm sure is going to cause a lot of arguments along Route 3 now as you're driving along to the Bluebird Drive-In, but nevertheless, it is quite true that there are no, believe me, there is no rough unless there is a smooth, and vice versa, as Jane Ace used to say. Nobody's totally adverse to a little vicey now and then, I mean, if it's properly presented, but nevertheless, I'm saying, you have a dirty mind. Has it occurred to you that your mind is dirty? D-U-R-T-I-E, dirty. You are a sickening individual, and you should know it.
The rest of us do not have dirty minds. The rest of us are clean minds and who are totally dedicated to truth and beauty, and you're dirty. Okay? All right. All right, so I'm, you want to get back to that. So I just thought I'd throw in the editorial there. So, I'm, standing around this cocktail party scene. I'm drinking these beautiful martinis. And I like, martini once in a while at a party, and I'm eating the, chocolate raisins, and they're groovy raisins. So I'm knocking them down, and I see that I have eaten the whole bowl. It has a little silver bowl. See, everybody else is over there with the, you know, with the pizza rolls, and everybody else is knocking down the little pork sausages they've got frying on the hot plate there. And I'm going, I'm the only guy that's making the scene with the chocolate covered raisins. And so, I see my hostess, and I'm, but see, I've eaten them all. I see her now going out in the kitchen, and now she comes back with another beautiful little silver dish full of chocolate raisins. So I don't say anything. I go sneak. I don't like to seem like a total pig, you know, Keith. So I'm drifting over there. You know, my hand darts out like I know the handful of the raisins. And down go the raisins. Down goes the martini. And now I'm drifting around looking real cool, see? And more raisins. You know, more martini. And now comes out of the undergrowth from back of the fern plants comes this chick. And, you know, blonde hair floating around. And she comes walking up to me, and I come walking up to her, and I said, "Oh, baby." And she says, "Oh, well, what a drag of a party." I said, "Yeah." And so a couple of these chocolate-covered raisins, down the trap goes, a little bit of the martini, down the trap. And I said, a couple more. You see, I'm trying to work up a little conversation with her, and all of a sudden, she starts the conversation. She says, "Gee, how can you eat those?" I said, "How can I do what?" "Chocolate-covered raisins. I love them." She says, "Chocolate-covered raisins, you're out of your bird. Those are chocolate-covered grasshoppers." Dum-da-dum-bum. Fantastic moment. So I take another one. I look at it. I did notice it was a kind of a long, round, skinny raisin. Now come to think of it, it's a strange-looking raisin. I said, "Chocolate-covered death. Grasshoppers? Why?" I was just kidding you. I thought you, see, you never want to admit you really laid a, you know, a fantastic square egg. So I said, I learned to eat them in Griffith, Indiana. You know, they like them in Griffith. And she said, "Well, that's the national dish of Mexico, you know. They eat them in Mexico all the time. I didn't know that you'd spend any time in Mexico." It's Guadalajara. It's Guadalajara. The only town I could think of in Mexico, see. It's a Guadalajara. At them, you know, CC, senor. And she says, "Well, gee, I can never get myself to eat those." And she drifts off. It was fantastic. It was like suddenly somebody turned the switch in me. I was so sick. Up to this point, I've been on top of the scene. I made a beeline through that crowd. I'll tell you, it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. I ran through that crowd going to the John. I got to the John, and there was somebody in the John. I couldn't get the door open. I was banging on the door, and all this stuff was coming up. I darted into the bedroom. Luckily, there was one of these umbrella holders in there. You know, big umbrella. Wah! In the umbrella holder, just like that. Wah! Chocolate raisins. Wah! All over the place. All over the umbrellas. Oh, it was so embarrassing. Then I went back out in the crowd, and I walked around. And the hostess came over. She said, "I'm so delighted." She says, "You know, you're the only one who is enjoying my chocolate-covered grasshoppers." I said, "Yeah, they're very good." She said, "Well, I don't think I haven't been seeing you. Would you like to take some home with you? Fred brought them back from Mexico, you know. He brought back 7 bushels. Would you like more?" And, "Would you please? Ein, zwei, drei." So it's all a matter of attitude, friends. I'm the sheik of everything, yeah. Your love belongs to me. At night when you're asleep, it's soon your tent. I'm gonna creep, creep, creepity creep. Da da do da do 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 da da do 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 da da do 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 da da do do da da do da da do 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 da da do 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 da da do do da da do 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 da da 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 do do da. Your love belongs to me, baby, at night when you're asleep. And don't you forget into your tent, I'm gonna creep on. Oh, you room, boop, boop. All right, that's enough, that's enough. Don't give them too much. Speaking of chocolate-covered ants, this is WOR, New York, speaking of hippos.
And it just hit me. Yes, indeed. Yeah. But, oh, yes, I'll do that. Oh, incidentally, before we go any further...
The classic tour of Europe. The grand tour. To London with its palaces and pubs. To Paris, City of Light, and the eternal city of Rome. Now you can take the grand tour with Qantas. Fly Qantas on a tour that treats you better all around. From New York, $662 for 21 days of Europe, complete with guides. The grand tour. See your travel agent and fly Australia's round-the-world airline.
Fly Qantas. Qantas treats you better all around. Treats you better all around. London, Paris, Frankfurt, Rome. Live again, live down at home. Qantas treats you better all around.
Will you please, Ein? No, give me the Hindustan one, okay? Ein, Shrine, right, here we go. Okay. What is a Jew's harp? This is a Jew's harp. And they're very difficult, the good ones. Now, don't confuse the toy Jew's harps. No, I'm very serious. It's like confusing these little dime store ukuleles. You know, you can buy these little ukuleles and that in the dime store made out of plastic. Confusing those with handmade Goya or handmade magnificent Segovia guitars. They're two different things. All good musical instruments are very personal. And by personal, I mean not only are they personally played by artists, but they're made personally by artists. Now, while we're on the subject of, of art, can you interrupt Lee there for a moment? She's on the phone. Would you please? I want some romantic, soft music. You're just going to have to change it there because I have something going on. That's good. Set that up in there, old man. Set that up in there. A great thing happened to me. Great thing here. I'll tell you, there's more to this than meets the eye. Oh, there's a lot more to this. Hey, listen, speaking of the problems that we're facing today, did you see the article in the Wall Street Journal? You never would expect anything like this in the Wall Street Journal. Right down the front page in the Wall Street Journal, one of my spies sent it to me. I do not ordinarily get the Wall Street Journal. In fact, I never have bought a copy that I know of. But, no, that's just not my bag, really. But here is right down the front of the Wall Street Journal is an analysis. Are you ready? Aphrodisiacs. And love potions. Now, you know, Keith, down in the islands, you can buy plenty of love potions. Now, there's people who say they don't work. And then there's the others. Where do you stand, Keith? We'll talk about that later. Oh, man. You know, speaking of... I've got something here, though, that I want to bring to your attention. It's a great thing. It's kind of embarrassing to me, really, in a way. A listener sent me this thing. Now, I don't ordinarily do anything, on the air much about listener letters and all that, although I enjoy reading some of them. I must warn you, and I must do this again, that letters that arrive that are not signed, I never even see them.
that we have a technique for dealing with those. No, I don't. No, I do not believe. I'm sorry. I say that if a person has, and I don't care, you can write me all the angry letters you want about it. This is my show, and I do it my way. And that's right. And I don't care whether you believe. You know, it's amazing how many listeners believe that they're doing you a favor by listening. That's a fantastic concept. They really believe it. They really do. Yeah, and they'll write in there saying, why, if I weren't here, you wouldn't even be there. Who would you be without me? Oh, get out. What kind of an ego is that? Now, you don't really believe for a minute. you don't really think for a minute that that if you go to a Broadway show, that you're doing them a favor by coming, do you? Does it occur to you they may have something that's worthwhile coming to? You know? Yeah, that's right. Has it occurred to you that my show may have something that's, you know, that's going out to you, and you're not paying a damn red cent for it, friend? So you're doing me no favor, really. And so, ultimately, no, this is amazing development, see? But one of our techniques here that we use is that I believe, since I do not hesitate to allow my name to be attached to my show, which is incidentally created entirely by me, I put my name. Well, it is. I don't have any writers. It's me. I'm a writer, so I write my own. There it is. It's what I think. Now, it's amazing to see the number of people who don't have the strength to put, even on a private letter, they do not have the strength to put their own name on it. So I say that anybody who does this, his opinions are not worthy of even considering. No, I mean it. A person who is that weak and has, yeah, I mean it. I'm sorry, friend. You're saying a lot when you won't put your name on a letter. And I, because you see, I make a point also that I treat every letter that I get with absolute confidence. I never mention the name of the writer of a letter on the air. Ever. You've never heard me do this. Unless the writer will specifically say it's okay to use my name. But even then, I rarely use it. This business of, and I say, so the letters go through two or three people before they come to me. And in general, in actual fact, then any letter that is not signed or somebody puts on the bottom, you're a spy or a sorehead or anything, that stuff is automatically dealt with. It just doesn't, how? Well, here's your imagination, friend. They use a lot of paper around this office. And it's not all you write on. But nevertheless, I'm just simply saying that's the way it is. But one of the grooviest things that has come here recently, and I picked it up, I read this thing, and it's a listener writing about. Now, most generally, listeners are not this observant, and nor are they this literary, although they all think they are. Very few listeners will ever concede that he has very few ideas. This is something not many of them will do. Most of them assume a sort of godlike attitude that they know far better how you should do your show than you. And only but for the grace of God and a damn good agent goes them. They, you know, and, this is highly questionable. I'm probably doing one of the very few things in the world that most people are under the illusion of thinking that they could do it too. Very few people would actually... No, seriously. Very few people are under the illusion that they could sing opera. Because that's obviously something that is beyond them. It's obviously, the key word is obvious. Very few people believe they could play, let's say, for the Mets. Although they may dream of it, they don't actually think they could do it. Very few people actually believe that they could have a painting at the Museum of Modern Art. Even though they may walk around and make smart remarks about the ones that are there, they really secretly know that they couldn't do this. Yet, almost everybody, almost without exception, believes he can do two things. He can be very funny. Very few men are equipped to make other men laugh. Very few. And yet, almost all of them think they're great at telling stories. Oh, boy. This is one of the rarest of... It's far rarer than the ability to sing. If you don't think so, you can find a dozen singers in any high school. In hundreds of glee clubs. But find two or three very talented storytellers. That's right. You'll find more guys that can hit a baseball, too, than can genuinely tell a story. But that's another story. We're not going to... So ultimately, though, you wind up with an art form in a way that everybody believes that he can do. So there's another thing most people think they can do, and that is write. Almost everybody believes, oh yes, they do now, not you. Well, present company all excluded. That it's amazing the number of people who believe that if they had the time, if they really had the time, that they could write this book. And that's questionable. But that's beside the point. Nevertheless, here is a letter that came in that I thought you'd be fascinated to hear. I was. I was really intrigued. And it's a test. It is a test. I'll make it into a test. I'll make this into a test. Do you remember the context in which I said these various things on the show, if you're a real listener? That the woman who wrote this thing, and it's beautifully put together, too. She put it together as a poem, almost. And the way she's done it, it actually is. And so if you'll please give me a little romantic music, just keep it behind there. I'm quoting this tract that this lady sent in its exact word-for-word context. The Shepherd Vignettes. By the master spinner of time, or beyond fame lies true greatness. And then in parentheses, most heroes of the written and spoken word come off with a few gems of a lifetime, which make history for them for life. But Shepherd does it as a nightly pastime habit. Now that's a question. We'll just let you make your own assumption. And now, she has this poem. You people all put me down for my pipe, but you enjoy the bubbles. Art. Now there's an open hearth. A fable happened to me. Quack, quack, quack. He'd been had by a crow, which led him into quicksand. A crow is as hard to catch as a griffin. Crow is a delicacy. He's one bird that knows he's speaking English. These are all quotes from the show. Horns, 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 said with rising crescendo. I'm a turtle or a toad. The quark is measly small. The highest mountain from base to peak is Mauna Kea in Hawaii, 2,000 feet higher than Everest. Earth weighs 6,588 quintillion tons. 6,588 plus 18 zeros. Good name for a dog. Zero. Esther Jane Albury. Helen Weathers. Miss Bundy, in kindergarten, tried to sell me on Eugene. Girls walk different from men. That is why they are not in marching bands. I lost out in marching band practice while knocking down two cheeseburgers. And Stinky Davis, the band captain with a monocle, was red as a beet. Never said a word when the reporter wrote how the crowd went ape and what a good comic scene my mistake was. Life is that way. I'm on the torture wheel tonight. Do you remember me saying that? I'm on the torture wheel tonight. Bring on the torture music. Well, don't look nervous. Just bring it on. Things are getting so precious, it makes my teeth itch. I like to be coaxed. Come on, coax me. I'm in the Army, see? All right, all you men's. Beets, Kool-Aid, dried eggs, roughly 1,000 years, Company K. Now, I'm no lettuce cuckoo, but give me a good cabbage head for flossy sauerkraut. Don't send me no roses. Just hand me a green head of lettuce or 17. My mother is hanging over the sink. Red chenille bathrobe with egg and curlers like rheostats. Brillo pad in hand. My old man, strategic buttons missing. reason was not in his mythology. I'm a kid, see? My kid brother. Wow, to the day bed whining. Have you noticed I have nice knees? And a nice navel? I like to contemplate it. In that great supermarket of my gut. In that great supermarket of my gut. After the Sunday morning God squad. Science has finally proven what people knew all along. England, the home office of mankind. By the way, there's my favorite line. England, the home office of mankind. And Buffalo, the real home office of winter. From the throne room, Saturday night is tomorrow night. Be there. It will appear on the Blue Book exam. Speaking of losers, this is WOR, the single most radio station in the U.S. of A. or anywhere. Triumph from disaster in the same scene. Now there's a caveman to mention, but a few hang loose. What'd you think of that? That was all culled from the show at various times. And apparently this listener type compiles and has been compiling a great notebook full of this stuff. Yeah, that's right. What, I ought to write a book? She will? Oh, I'm sure. In fact, but you know, speaking of this life that we're all fighting against, I mentioned briefly here a moment ago about aphrodisiacs and love potions. I'm going to quote the New York, the Wall Street Journal. Listen to this. Men, does your wife spend her evenings buried in a True Confessions magazine? Ladies, does your husband plop down in front of a TV set with a cold beer right after dinner? Has the romance gone out of your life? If so, then hustle down to Kiehl's Pharmacy in the East Village here in New York and pick your mate a love potion. The oils and herbs are right there on the shelves between the red and white signs advertising cures for athlete's foot and poor circulation. Most people agree that a love potion that works is as rare as a cigar store Indian that smokes. But that does not seem to hurt sales of such items, and they got groovy names like Compelling Oil. That's a great name, Compelling Oil. Indian Love Powder. Cleopatra Oil. Or High John the Conqueror Root. That's, I think, is a good one. Well, now, have you ever had anything to do with these? Have you? Well, now, wait a minute now. Don't everybody look around and look kind of embarrassed. I'm just going to tell you that rumors about these things are rife. If not ripe, they are. In fact, the story I'm about to tell you has to do with a sickening incident in Company K. It is an Army story. Now, I'm in the Army, you know, and I, like most guys that are first in the Army, you come in with thousands of rumors and ideas, you see, that you think that the Army's about. You've seen 12 million movies about the armies. You've read stuff and stories and magazines and all this. And you have an idea that you know. I suspect that most guys that are walking around talking about the Army, you know, protesting one thing or another, are really protesting movies. And novels, that the actuality, I'm serious, believe me, the Army is nothing like Catch-22. The Army is the Army, you know? And like everything else, it has its logic, it has its illogic, just like life. To pretend that the Army is all illogical is ridiculous, any more than to pretend that all life is illogical. It is not. The Army is like anything else that mankind has created. It's both goofy and you know, straightforward. So I get in the Army and I have all these things in my mind, so all these ideas of what the Army's going to be like. And it turns out that, you know, it isn't really. And I remember waking up one morning. I'm in the Army about 3 or 4 days now, see? And I'm in the indoctrination center. It's about 3 or 4 days. And not the indoctrination, induction center. See? And they're about to ship me. And it was the first day that I heard this rumor. There's a guy in the bunk above me, see. He'd been there in maybe 3 or 4 days longer than me. And I have, you know, at that point, any guy, believe me, any guy that's been in 2 weeks, he's seen it, man. He knows. He's seen it all. He's been through hell, you know. And, oh, yeah, and they walk around pretending that. They say things like, oh, man, war is hell. And, you know, so that's the way human beings are. So I'm just fresh in the Army, and I'm sitting in the bunk there trying to get my shoes on because everything is very tight when you first get the shoe, you know, trying to get that crummy shoe on. And it took me like 20 minutes just to lace up one set of leggings. And, I'm not used to having these things on, so I'm putting this stuff on. And I hear this guy above me, and he's saying bad stuff. And so I stick my head out from under the bunk, and I look up and say, what's the matter? He said, this stuff they're putting in the chow, man, it's really getting to me. I said, stuff they're putting in the chow? You mean the salt? Are you kidding? He said, you're talking about the saltpeter, huh? I says, what? I never even heard of this stuff, see? He says, you know, the stuff they put in the chow. I said, what stuff? I've been eating the chow down at the chow hall, you know. Sure, that's true. I mean, I had never had ice cream mixed with pickled beets before, but after all, you know, it's a straightforward mixture. I can accept that, you know. And, the tuna salad not to mention the... We used to go for salmon loaf a lot in my company all the time. The salmon loaf was like the salmon loaf that you got in the school cafeteria. You know, it kind of like, tastes a little bit like old erasers, but outside of that, I mean, it was straightforward. So he says, this stuff that they're putting in this. He says, I had a date the other night. He says, you know, they let me out. He says, after 3 hours, you know, after you're here about a couple of days, you can go out for 2 or 3 hours. They let you go into town. He says, man, this stuff is really getting me. Innocence, you know, me. I said, what's getting you? He says, well, this stuff they put in the chow. I said, what stuff? He says, you mean to tell me you don't know that they put stuff in the chow? They do it all over, all of the navies, even worse. He says, put this stuff in your chow, man, and forget it. I mean, you're not interested in nothing. You know, I've never heard of this before. My mother never told me this. They never did this in, Private Hargrove. You know, and you see these cartoons of the Army, they never mention this. Well, you know how it is. One thing led to the next, and I went completely out of my mind. Next thing you know, I'm on some kind of a gigantic detail, and it's gone. Then I'm shipped. And 3 weeks later, our little band of malcontents have been drawn together from the very bowels of the Army. The little group of malcontents that I'm about to spend the next 400 years of my life together with. Company K. Oh, talk about a benighted group of men. It was like signing on, you know. There must have been... Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be great to write a novel from the standpoint of a guy who's walking along the dock? You see, it's a historical novel. He's just a guy, a yardbird. See, he's walking, you know, a regular klutz. He's walking along the dock, and he's thinking of getting a job, and he'd like to get a little sea air, and he walks along, and there's a sign. It says, signing on seaman. You're looking for work? Would you like a ocean voyage and see interesting new countries? And underneath it, it says, sign aboard the HMS Bligh. And enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Consult with the captain above. Ask for him at his office. Captain L.D. Bligh. It says, bounty. Sign aboard the HMS Bounty. That moment, you know, of a guy signing aboard something... He has no idea. Just like he could have picked the HMS Swordfish. He could have put the HMS Providence. He picked the Bounty. All right? And so of all the millions of outfits I could have gotten in the Army, all of a sudden I am assigned. They didn't ask me, of course, you know. So there was not much. It was like fate. That's why I believe in fate, you know. One day, boom, bang, orders are cut, sockle, and now I'm in Company K. And I ain't the only one. This little band of malcontents have been drawn from all over the country. All of us innocent. All of us about to achieve our own private history. And this company itself about to achieve its own private, sad, inconsequential, non-operative history. Company K. That's right. And I'm sitting in the barracks after about a week, and I'm just barely getting to know these guys. You know, you don't just automatically walk in and say, my name is Charlie. Hello, I'm Fred. Not at all. Everybody in the Army, after you're in the Army, why, you approach everybody with suspicion. You know, you never know when you're about to be had. And so I sit down on my footlocker every night. I'm looking around, and here's this guy named Gasser. I never heard of Gasser before. Over here is Zinsmeister. You heard of Zinsmeister? What a silly name. Over there across the aisle, who's sitting over there? Roswell T. Edwards. Now, there's a name for you, you know. It's Elkins, our company truck driver, who had this 50 Mission Crush hat and who always talked about fighter planes. And he always drove our Jeep like he was driving a P-51. And he had the sad look in the eye of a guy who once applied to become an aviation cadet and wound up a truck driver, man. And so our little company, and it's about a week goes by. I'm sitting there when Gasser comes roaring in. This was late. It's about 10 o'clock on a Friday night. And they had been giving us, once in a while, they'd let a few of us go out on pass for about 3 hours in the town. And Gasser comes roaring in. And he says, oh, he's purple. He starts banging on his footlocker with his shoe. I look over and I say, what's the matter with you, Mac? That's the way you talk in the Army. What's biting you, Mac? There's another word, you know, but I won't. I've got kids listening tonight. I says, what's biting you, Mac? And he says, damn mess hall. I said, what happened? He said, they've been putting stuff in the mashed potatoes. I said, what? What stuff? So what do you mean, what stuff? You know what stuff. I said, what stuff? Then it hit me again. Ding, ding. Little thing ran off. I remember back. I heard it again. See, there must be something in this room. I says, that stuff. Ha-ha. You know, you never want to admit you don't know anything. He said, oh, boy. He says, what a drag. Well, this went on for about 3 months. Everybody pretended they were putting stuff in the food. Now, I never knew whether they were or not. I know. Everybody says no. That's the official statement is no. But I never, you know, nobody ever proved it to me. I never saw him do it when I was on KP. But the rumor always was out. And one night, Roswell T. Edwards came in and he says, fellas, I got the answer. Gasser looks up and says, you got the answer to what? The stuff they're putting in the mashed potatoes. Gasser says, you mean you have got an answer to that? He says, yeah, look at this. He reaches into his musette bag and he takes out this bottle, about a 3-inch-high bottle. He says, you see what this is, men's? Gasser says, what? Zinsmeister is now sitting up on his bunk. And with that, Roswell holds the bottle up and says, this is Spanish fly. Spanish fly. That's it. Bring it in. Son, I can hear it. Oh, no? No, no. Oh, then that's out. I thought you were, I'm way off. Oh, very well. You guys should tell me that. And so he says, this is Spanish fly. And it was silence hung in the barracks. And we had all heard of this. Have you heard of it? You ever heard of it? You ever seen it? That's right. It's mythological. It's like discovering the elephant's graveyard. All my life, I've heard of this Spanish fly. They said, the rumors were out that if you put one drop of this into, a bowl of punch, the entire Red Cross, all the chicks, all of them, go out of their mind. Impossible. I mean, you know, tackling GIs and tearing their clothes off and all that stuff. So everybody says, where did you get it? He says, never mind where I got it. He said, I got it, right? Well, nobody could question that. And here was the bottle. It had a label on it, and the label... it did! Had a label. It had a black label on it, and the label simply said, Spanish fly. And underneath it, it said, use with caution. And on the other side, it had instructions, and it had a whole thing about you put one drop into 1 gallon of liquid and all that kind of stuff. Spanish fly. Well, that weekend, we had this big party down at the service club, and we all went. And Roswell T. takes a spoon, and he sneaks a spoonful of this stuff into the big 32-gallon tank we had full of Kool-Aid, which was the big drink. It was Kool-Aid with lime in it. And Roswell says, watch and see what I do. And they brought all these chicks from town. See, there were thousands of them. They brought in trucks. And sure enough, Roswell T. Edwards sneaks over by the refreshment counter where they had the donuts. and he lays in a spoonful of this stuff when nobody's looking. And the entire company was electric, you know? They were waiting. And the chicks were drinking his, you know, they were drinking down the lemonade and the Kool-Aid like there was no tomorrow. That night, I am out in the back with a Red Cross chick. I figure she's full of Spanish fly. I'd seen her drink 9 gallons of this stuff. I said, come here, baby. She hit me a shot in the mouth, which I will never forget. Everybody in the company had exactly the same experience. Now, I put it to you, man. Had those chicks drunk Spanish fly or not? Good question. All I know is that Gasser had a shiner. I'm telling you, there was this big, tall lady who was a nurse who got him a shot. And Edward sat there all night with his bottle of Spanish fly with a big, fat smile on his face. So all I can say, there are myths and there are rumors. There are legends and there are facts. But the thing you got to be careful of most of all is the fable. The fable will send you down to your ultimate decline. Oh, yeah, it works. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of what happens when you put take two Coke bottles full of Coke, mix them together, and then put 3 quinine tablets in it? Oh, you're liable to get arrested. It's just fantastic. I'm starting to rumor here, you know.